Live programming for WAUK Radio 540 AM and 101 FM is produced right in the Shaw in beautiful downtown Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Matt Flynn Direct is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with WAUK Radio. Enjoy! The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
You can run on for a long time.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct, second hour, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. We're going right to the lines themselves. Do not hang up. I will get to you immediately. We're going to start in order. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, thanks for calling Western Mind today, Gene.
Good morning. Are you ready for a little respectful butt-kicking this morning?
What do you got on your mind, Gene?
Okay, you're going to get a little butt-kicking this morning because I would like to remind you that unlike the Republican Party, where they anoint one king and everybody bows down and follows their rules and their thinking and strategies, the Democratic Party represents a large variety of people with a lot of different inputs regarding a lot of different people, and they're not sheep. So I just like to tell you that one, because the Republicans only represent their masters and the people that give them big bucks for their campaigns. The Democrats work for all the people, health care, all of the different rights. They work for the United States of America on every issue, to encroach streets and roads, schools, everything. So I just wanted to remind you that, having been initially a Bernie supporter. So I had to just clarify that for you. And in addition to that, Manchin is something else. And I don't know where Sinema's connected. But didn't there something with his daughter? I can't recall, and maybe you can. Something with her working with, what was it, EpiPens or something like that?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Let me just quick jump in on two things. One is, I think you're reminding me of what I think is the obvious, which is the Democratic Party is the party of progress and the party of democracy. And I couldn't agree with you more. You may be alluding to the fact that I was a Biden supporter early on in 2020, whereas others were not. You know something? I'm glad I was. Glad I was. I do not think, even Michelle Goldberg, who's an editorialist for the New York Times, said he was the only one who could have won in 2020, and I believe that, and I believe it in 2024. And then, yeah, Manchin and Sinema. Look, Manchin and Sinema are half Democrats. They'll vote on some things, but I'll tell you what, a soft infrastructure with these two characters is dead, which is very sad. Gene, thanks a lot for calling in. I always enjoy your passion and your calls. Thank you so much. Joe of Madison, my friend, you're next. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Joe?
Oh, I'm very interested in the subject that you brought up in the last hour, and that was repeated during the break in the news, which is the subject of the AG in Texas going to the wall with spending, you know, state resources, money, time to battle the federal government, basically to ensure that Texas has the right to say we can let our women die who are pregnant and suffer complications that threaten their lives. We reserve the right to let that happen. It's an amazing thing to go to the wall on. We want to battle the federal government that insists, under Biden, which insists if a mother's life is under threat, she can have an abortion. I think it's amazing that this is the wall they want to they want to put their stake on. And I just would offer, you know, oftentimes when we talk about this, I was thinking about it in terms of Wisconsin, in terms of where we are. As I understand it, there were 4 clinics that offered elective abortions in Wisconsin. Those are all now closed down, and they are seeking to have women be directed to other states, Illinois, Minnesota, if they need, they want an elective abortion. But let us talk about those women here in Wisconsin who are under, who may be under stress and under a serious complication in their pregnancy that requires them to have an abortion. Who is going to be the person who is deciding, oh, this is life-threatening? Are doctors going to have lawyers over their shoulders watching what they do in a situation that can be rapidly evolving? I was reading an article where they said, you know, to intervene, we're talking about situations, for example, not just ectopic pregnancies, but let's say eclampsia, where a woman is under severe problems of their liver start to fail, their platelets drop, they are under risk of stroke and under risk of dying. Who goes in there and gets to decide all this? I mean, this is just the idea that the state has a stake in looking over the shoulder of doctors who've taken an oath to be there for their patients will now be the ones that get to flip the coin and decide yes or no, you get to have an abortion to save your life or not. I think people have no idea what's ahead as a result of this Dobbs decision by the Supreme Court. They assume that they're protected. They assume that their pregnancy is going to be the one that's going to be A-OK. Good luck. That's all I can say is good luck.
Joe, thanks a lot. You're right. And let me even build on that. What's incredible to me is it seems to me that one of the primary rights you have in the Constitution is bodily autonomy. I mean, you know, that you have a right to control your own body. I mean, that's pretty fundamental. You don't necessarily have that in communist countries like China or North Korea. You don't necessarily have it in mafia type countries like Russia or in some jihadist countries like Iran. But in the United States, you should. And then secondly, the extraordinary thing to me about this, that they think they can get away with this, because the majority of people in Texas aren't going to agree with it, but you have an Attorney General, Ken Paxton, who is under criminal charge, all right? He's for fraud. He is suing Biden because Biden put in an executive order saying that hospitals and doctors, if it's in their medical judgment to save the life of the mother, that has to trump any state reg. To me, that's a no-brainer. And OBGYNs, by the way, pay among the highest insurance premiums of any doctor. And what do you do if you're an OBGYN and somebody comes in, a woman, and says, and she has an ectopic pregnancy, so the unborn child is not going to survive no matter what. And the mother could die of an infection, sepsis, and a lot of other things, or as you say, organ failure. Now, what is that OBGYN supposed to do? Call the DA and say, do you agree? I mean, come on. He took a Hippocratic oath. He has to save the mother's life. In Oklahoma, their law does not permit that. In Texas, they're suing that it not be permitted anywhere in the country. In Indiana, there's this story that the Republicans have said was false, and it turned out to be confirmed. A 10-year-old girl was pregnant, 6 weeks pregnant. So she went to Indiana to have an abortion. She's 10 years old, and right at the beginning of the pregnancy. And the Indiana Attorney General now just announced that he may prosecute the doctor that did it, a woman who's a doctor who did it. You know, who decides? You raise a very good question. Even under their theory, okay, even under their theory, who decides this? Who decides this? If a doctor thinks, well, if I terminate this ectopic pregnancy and save the life of the mother, and you have a local DA who wants to run for governor and make a name for himself, he may prosecute me. Does my insurance cover criminal defense fees? And no, it doesn't. It doesn't cover intentional acts that are in violation of law. They will not cover that. I've got to get a criminal lawyer. I don't want an inexperienced one. An experienced one can be quite expensive. Do I want to sit in a courtroom for a couple of weeks and explain this? And even if the jury acquits me, it's going to happen again next week. The core issue to me here is bodily autonomy. I don't care what people's opinion is on a subject like that, but for the state to interfere with the autonomy that you have over your own body is unbelievable. And remember something else. I think we're going to do better in the fall elections than most people think. But let's say, God forbid, we do not, and let's say the Republicans take over the House and the Senate. They have promised to bring a bill that would outlaw abortions as a matter of federal law. That trumps state law. That means in New York, California, and Illinois, there could be no abortions. Biden will veto it. Biden's up for re-election 2 years later. If Biden doesn't run, or Biden runs and doesn't win, and a Republican gets in, DeSantis, Trump, or anyone else, they will sign that. Then if you're in New York, California, Oregon, Washington, Illinois, Massachusetts, Connecticut, there'll be no right anywhere. And if a suit against Biden is successful, saying that even to save the life of the mother, it can't be done, how can you say that half of the people in this country still have bodily autonomy? They don't. That's a core constitutional principle. Thanks for calling, Joe. The lines are alive. Don't hang up. I'll get back after the break. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going back to the phone lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today? Mark from the SAC.
Yeah, well, Gene and Jordy, hit some of the stuff, to reiterate what they said. I mean, what is next for these Republicans? Passing laws that where women need permission to leave the house or cross state borders? I mean, that's... It is that attorney general in Indiana. I mean, that apparently the doctor did a report this incident with the 12-year-old girl, why she had to do it and all this, and he says, well, he's going after her for this and that. And you're saying that these guys trying to make names for themselves are just being dickwads, are going to keep doing this stuff, going after doctors. I mean, that this is life-saving procedures in some of this case. In some of this case, the stuff that are used to perform chemical chemically induced abortions are used not only for that, but they're used for other medical treatments as well. And women are having trouble getting those medications as well. I mean, this is gotten ridiculous. It is just complete and out ridiculous. And the Supreme Court of the United States, I mean, these guys should be held to task for this. I mean, this is, we are not a papal state. I mean, our Kennedy said it back when he was running for office back in the 1960s, that he wasn't going to take orders from the Pope. We're not supposed to be taking orders through religious dogma in this country, and these people do not seem to understand this. I mean, it is just beyond me, and even some of the Muslim states, they allow abortion. Under Jewish law, abortion is allowed. I mean, that these guys just simply do not seem to understand that we are not supposed to be, that under the thumb of religious dogma. I mean, I am, that they don't seem to get it, and people just don't seem to understand that's they've bought into this nonsense that we are, that we're a quote unquote Christian nation. No, we are not. I mean, that if you read the Federalist Papers, you read the Constitution, nowhere in there it says we're supposed to bow down to religious authorities on this kind of thing. I mean, I just that.
Yeah, here's the thing, Mark.
I can't imagine.
Let me tell you my view on this. I do not think this is generated from any particular denomination. this is pervasive on the right, and is pervasive in all cultures on the right, and is pervasive in red states and so forth, that are very, very diverse religiously in terms of denomination. So it's not a subject of any one denomination. There are people in all denominations on both sides of this issue. But the real core issue to me is bodily autonomy. How can you tell half the country, women? I mean, this trivializes women to a remarkable degree. How do you tell half the country you don't have bodily autonomy? We are going to make decisions for you, including whether your life can be saved. And so now, theoretically, in Oklahoma now, you would go in for declaratory judgment, and a doctor would sign an affidavit and say, Your Honor, would you permit me to treat this woman? She has an ectopic pregnancy. If it's not terminated, it will not survive under any circumstances, and the woman has maybe a 50% chance of survival. You're going to have a judge who wants to run for governor who says, well, 50%, to me, that, you know, I don't know, 50%. If you said 90%, that there's a 90% chance she would not, you know, who's talking like this? Who has time to write a brief? Why should they have to write a brief? Who has time to get on the court docket? Are you kidding me? The doctor is there in the operating room, there in the office. You have to make split decisions. He's a professional. You know, pilots in an airplane, they hit a little turbulence and have to go to a court by phone to get permission to throw a lever or something. I mean, you have to respect professionalism. And when it comes to medicine, you have to respect that. So it is a matter of bodily autonomy. There are people who cloak it in various religious terms, but I want to emphasize something. There are people in all denominations on both sides of this issue. It's not a denomination-oriented or particular religion-oriented thing. You say that in Islamic countries, if you take a look at it, there's not a lot permitted. Let's put it that way. So let's be very blunt about this. We live not only in the best country in the world, the best country in history, with the best constitution, and it has worked out very well for us. As a result of our constitution, we have democracy. We should not have violence. We don't until now. Should not have violence. We have an enlightened capitalist system with a safety net. We have Social Security, Medicare, and unemployment comp. And people can work hard and earn money, and if they earn a lot of it, good for them. Want them to pay their fair share of taxes and not break the law, and good for them. Good for them. We want that to continue. A democracy cannot survive without enlightened capitalism. Enlightened capitalism cannot survive without a democracy. Republicans are destroying them. Republicans are destroying them. And this is the tip of the iceberg. But to tell half the people in the country you do not have bodily autonomy is unthinkable. There has to be a prosecutor who may want to run for governor and make a name for himself, like you say. There may be somebody like Ken Paxton, the attorney general of Texas, who has been criminally charged for fraud and is trying to somehow, burnish his reputation in Texas by doing this kind of stuff. Last time he sues Wisconsin because he doesn't like how they voted in the presidential election. Where do these clowns come from? Why aren't the assessed attorney's fees against them the minute they file this stuff? Oklahoma doesn't have to file it. Oklahoma's law now says you cannot perform one even to save the life of the mother. How do half the country agree to not having their lives saved under extraordinary circumstances? I mean, I think that some people are right when they say, well, the average person thinks this won't affect me. Well, it could affect you, or it could affect a member of your family or your children. And this has to be done consistent with the Constitution. And the Constitution provides for bodily autonomy. That's as core as you can get. I mean, that was the reason behind the 13th Amendment freeing the slaves. I mean, they did not have bodily autonomy. Then after they were freed, they did, although they were betrayed and we had Jim Crow and lynchings for 100 years. But you've got to stand for bodily autonomy. You've got to be able to be the master of your fate the captain of your ship, the captain of your own body, for Pete's sake. And especially if you are about to die. I mean, I can't think of anything more fundamental than that. These clowns on the other side, it's non-denominational. It's across the board in red states or the other way. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, here's a revelation about what's going to happen in the next January 6th commission, the hearing that's going to be coming up in the coming week. Supposedly it's set for prime time, which will be great. And Elaine Luria, Congresswoman from Norfolk, Virginia, and Kitzinger, from Illinois, the Republican, both terrific people, are going to conduct it. They're both top-notch. Luria, by the way, spent 20 years in the Navy, went to the Naval Academy. She is spent 20 years and became a commander. That was her rank, got out, ran for Congress. Represents the Norfolk, Virginia area. I was stationed in that area, in the Navy, for a couple of years, or at least our ship was home-ported there. We were gone most of the time deployed, but we're in Little Creek, Virginia, the amphibious base, but there are five bases around there, I think. Norfolk, Virginia Beach, there's a repair facility, there's Little Creek, a lot of military around there. They like her. It's a reddish-type district, but she can carry it. I have a lot of respect for her. Anyway, this is the one where they're going to do the 187-minute blow by blow, like at minute 55, this is when somebody gets killed, and minute 72, this is when someone gets shot, and you're going to see there how Trump is reacting while all of this is unfolding. It's very, very important. However, there will be a mystery witness. It was teased last time by Liz Cheney. She did a good job, and she said, in effect, you know how there's been witness tampering? There are all these mafia-type calls. See, some voice will come on the line saying, quote, someone called me to let me know that your deposition is tomorrow. He thinks very highly of you. He knows that you're a good person and will do your duty. Remember that he reads transcripts. That's a mafia call. That's witness tampering. Cassidy Hutchinson got a call like that, and now she's in the witness protection program. At government expense with guards in an undisclosed location with her family. That is disgusting. Out of fear of what? A former president and his fellow travelers and running dogs? That's what it's come to. But who's this new mystery witness? Well, there's a tease on that. Some info has gotten out. The new mystery witness is somebody who got a call from Trump directly. Now, usually in an organized crime witness tampering, the head guy doesn't make the call. He's not stupid. His voice is not on the recorder. He gets a subordinate or a lackey to do it. In this case, Trump made some of these calls. And it's come out he's made prior calls. One of these things, I know you'll do the right thing, is from Trump himself. The unusual thing about this one that will be disclosed at this hearing, and the initial word is that this is a support staff. In other words, not a highfalutin type, not a senior official, not somebody who would ever get a call from Donald Trump. And she worked for Cassidy Hutchinson. And she or he is going to confirm what Cassidy Hutchinson said. She heard Cassidy Hutchinson have some of the conversations that Cassidy Hutchinson testified to. And it was, imagine this, say you work in an office somewhere and you have a good support person. It could be a secretary, It could be working, someone working the mailroom, the print shop. Could be somebody who delivers stuff, a messenger, that kind of thing. Any clerical person, medical records. And suddenly, they get a call from the CEO of the company. Think about that. Think about that. The CEO of the company, the owner of the company, who says, I hear you're having your deposition taken tomorrow. I know you'll do the right thing. In this case, we're going to find out whether she took the call or he took the call or was so scared that they let it go to voicemail and then just told their lawyer. I do not know. And this, by the way, is just advanced word that has leaked out. So it's important. Be sure to listen in, because I think it will be prime time, the next January 6th commission. I think it's the eighth one. And you're going to have Elaine Luria and Adam Kinzinger wrap it up. You're going to do a great job. But I am really waiting to listen to this person's testimony on two respects. What is it she heard of conversations that Cassidy Hutchinson was participating in to confirm her testimony? And secondly, since it's support staff, you know, that's a lower level position, how did she feel when she got a call from the big guy? The big guy, the owner, the CEO. How did she feel about that? Was she scared? He scared? What did you do? This is going to be a fascinating, fascinating testimony in the upcoming hearing. I'll tell you what, I want to address this right now. This is Trump we're talking about. But there is a phenomenon that has been going on in the Democratic Party that I strongly disagree with. I want to draw the line against it. There have been people now in the Democratic Party who are attacking Joe Biden in the Democratic Party. You've always had the conspiracy theorists, the lowlife, the seditious faction, the Cruises, Marco Rubio's, Hawley. You have people like Cotton, Senator, Tucker Carlson, people of that ilk, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matthew Gaetz, Gosar Biggs, Lauren Boebert. They all attack Joe Biden, stab him in the back. Wartime president, doing a great job. But now you're starting to see sniping from idiots in the Democratic Party. And they go, well, yeah, we weren't for Joe before. Okay, he won. Yeah, he won. He was the only one who could have won. Now he's in, and you know, there's inflation. They pick up all the Republican themes. So let's get somebody new. And they start the drumbeat. And to some extent, the newspapers go along with this. I'm going to lay a line in the sand right now. I'm going to lay a marker right now. Joe Biden is a premier president, a world-class president, one of the best we've had in a long, long time. Nobody else could have beaten Donald Trump in 2020, and nobody else can beat him in 2024. Take a look at what he's accomplished. In Europe, with NATO, and then in Ukraine, Trump had so demoralized NATO, claiming that he simply wanted them to spend more on their defense, and that's fine, and they started to do that. But then he said he might pull them out, and he has betrayed us to Putin. He did betray us to Putin in his entire term. As late as February, as the invasion started, of Ukraine, Donald Trump said, quote, Putin is a genius. He gets all that real estate for $2 in sanctions, end quote. Crooked Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, said, I admire Vladimir Putin. Tucker Carlson admires Vladimir Putin. These people can't be permitted to come back into power. Trump met with the Russians in the White House, and without Americans present, by the way, and boasted that he had solved the Russia problem because he fired Comey as head of the FBI when he wouldn't discontinue the Russia investigation. He would go to meetings with Putin that nobody was there, and he wouldn't even have his own translator. He he'd use Putin's translator. When he did use his own translator, he confiscated their notes and destroyed them. When he was sitting next to Putin in Helsinki at a hearing, at a conference, and a reporter said, the CIA and the FBI say that Putin hacked into the 2016 election. What did he do? Turns to Putin. Putin said, no, he didn't. Trump turns around and said, well, I don't see why he did. I believe him. I don't believe our CIA and FBI. Not only that, Ron Johnson echoed the same thing and went to Moscow, Russia on the 4th of July, 2018, to suck up to the Ruskies. We need Joe Biden back in there. We have the hard infrastructure. It went through. We have the lowest unemployment since 1968. Inflation is on its way down. It's a worldwide phenomenon. But he's mastering it in the United States, where other countries are not. My message to the Democrats, stop stabbing one of the best presidents we've ever had in the back. The Sedition Caucus, the Republican Party, the Fascist Party is already doing that. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Wisco Paul? Connor, put Wisco Paul on the line.
Good morning, Matt.
Yeah, good morning, Paul. What's on your mind today?
Hey, okay. The first thing I'd like to say is it's really totally awesome. Cootie's going to get more radio stations around the state. In fact, it looks like he's going to have the whole state covered, so that's wonderful news. And as far as the Republicans, it doesn't seem anybody wants to stand up to Trump. It's mostly women that stand up against the guy, which is nice to see. But it's just an amazing thing to watch these people cower to Trump. And I want to talk about the red wave a little bit. You know, the first thing that they've said they want to do is impeach Biden. He doesn't control his son. Now, I just want to mention a few things about Biden. He wants to lower prescription drugs, and that's a big deal. He also wants to leave Social Security and Medicare the same. And the voter bill, which is probably the biggest thing, that would end gerrymandering. That would be just a wonderful thing. Everybody has a fair shot in their districts. And he's for trying to fight climate change. And people have to understand the GOP has no platform, none, zero. It's an amazing thing. And I also think Tony is doing a wonderful job in the state. I've got the roads fixed, for goodness sakes, for one thing. But Biden's doing a great job, and so is Tony. So heaven forbid if we have a red wave. I, for one, don't think it's going to happen. But when people come on here and talk about a red wave, more tax cuts for the rich? The people don't even have a platform. So anyway, I just wanted to do kudos to Cootie, and I'm sticking up for Joe and Tony. So you have a great day, Matt.
All right, thanks a lot, Paul. Right, I want to pick up on a couple of that. First of all, I'll let Cootie make his own announcements, but the station's doing very well. Appreciate all the great listenership. Secondly, you know, you hit the nail on the head when you're talking about who has stood up to Trump. It's not just women. I mean, Cassidy Hutchinson, of course. There have been a lot of other people who have come forward. But one thing that impresses me is virtually all of them are conservative Republicans. These are not Democrats that are coming in a political sense to get Trump. These are people who couldn't stand it anymore, who realize that our democracy is being destroyed. Our democracy is being destroyed. Remember a couple of things. I'm going to say it again because they're very important. Stalin's dictum, one of the biggest mass murderers in history, an evil man, Joseph Stalin. He was the head guy in Russia from the 20s to the 50s. killed 20 million people. He once said, quote, "It doesn't matter who the people vote for. What matters is who counts the vote." Lukashenko in Belarus lost the election, but then they do a replay election, and he had soldiers at the polls driving people away who were not authorized. Lukashenko counted the votes he's in. That's what you get in communism, and that's what you get in the mafia and organized crime. Doesn't matter who the people vote for. What matters is who counts the votes. And that's what's underway right now in this country. People running for Secretary of State, election officials, good election officials getting death threats and quitting. The Republican Party putting into effect a task force to train conspiracy theorist election officials. The other thing I want to remind everybody of, following Wisco Paul's excellent insight, is this. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. Carl Sandburg, great American poet, has a great image in a poem. The fog creeps in on little cat's feet. The fog creeps in on little cat's feet. Fascism also creeps in on little cat's feet. It is not soldiers at your door with guns. It's lawyers, anonymous lawyers with briefcases. You never know, as they come in from the airport, what they've done. Suddenly you have a gerrymandered legislature. You have a proposal from the Republicans to make lieutenant governor, treasurer, secretary of state, and head superintendent of public instruction all appointed by a governor. You have no ability to vote for them. They're going to put it as a resolution, which can't be vetoed by a Democratic governor. And they will spend tens of millions of dollars of dark money. We don't know the origin. Hoodwinking lazy people into, oh, okay, I'll vote for it. What the heck? If you don't stand up for your own democracy, nobody else is. If you don't stand up for your own democracy, nobody else is. All of that is fascism. And you have governor candidates right now, the Duchess of Foxconn, Rebecca Clayfish, this Michaels character, Rampton character, all saying that the election should be supervised out of the gerrymandered legislature under Voss. He's the one who should do the elections. That way, they'll convene, and they won't be fake electors anymore. He'll say, no, we're sending 10 Trump electors. But wait a minute. Biden just won the election by 2 points. No, that's fine. We heard there was fraud, no specifics. That's what's happening. Right under your nose, that's what's happening. And it's happening in other states as well. The fog creeps in on little cat's feet. And I'll give you a couple of things. A couple of things. There's a D.C. police officer who now testifies that he saw Trump in a heated exchange with the Secret Service when they wouldn't drive him up to the insurrection occupation of the Capitol. Trump has now said that he was not in the car. They call it the beast because there's a lot of communication equipment and it's secure. I was not even in that car. Here's a D.C. police officer who saw him. Cassidy Hutchinson testified that Tony Ornato, deputy chief of staff, told her that. So the inspector general that serves both the House and Senate Homeland Security Committees, head of the Department of Homeland Security, sent a letter to the Secret Service demanding all texts, all electronic communications on January 5th and January 6th. You know what they did? They came back and said, we deleted them. They go, well, if you have a request like that, you're not supposed to delete them. It's against the law. They just said, well, this is part of a device replacement program. Device replacement program. Turn over the devices that were replaced. Can't find them anymore. The Secret Service prizes security. And they will, this is apparently the case, they will side and show loyalty to a president who encouraged a mob to murder the vice president and the speaker of the house. This is already happening. Biden right now is the only person that stands between this kind of thing going on and being entrenched in our country and the liberal and robust democracy we've enjoyed. One of the things that I want to get a message I want to get out to all my fellow Democrats is you're picking up on Republican themes because you think you're being smart and cute. And you supported Bernie and you supported Elizabeth Warren, you supported this one and that one. There was a whole list of people. There were like 17 of them that included every corner of the identity politics movement. And none of them could have beaten Donald Trump except Joe Biden, and none of them can beat him again this time except Joe Biden. So don't pick up on Republican themes attacking Joe Biden. We're going back to the lines. Bill of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling us from Monday, Bill.
Hello?
Yeah, Bill, you're on the air. What's up?
Oh, you said Bill of Madison. I thought you had I thought maybe I wasn't on the air. Anyhow, good morning, Matt.
Hi, Bill. Yeah, you're of Oconomowoc. Somebody put in Madison. Sorry okay. Bill. No, Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Problem. What's up?
No problem. I heard that this Sunday, I believe it is, I'm going to check it out myself. The Duchess of Foxconn is going to be at the Cornerstone Tavern in Oconomowoc. I hope to be there. I want to question her. I will not shout, scream obscenities, but my first question is, Rebecca, what are you going to do about the mess of Foxconn? Are you going to clean it up? And I said, or are you going to walk away from it? But I'm going to say in the same question, or are you going to walk away from it? If she walks away from it, and when you challenge her, there are people in that crowd that could be on the fence, and they're going to go, oh, my God, do I really want to vote for this woman? She won't even address that. We can't holler at these people. We can't scream. We can't swear. We just propose a question. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to walk away from it? That's going to almost stymie her. That is going to upset the whole reason she's there. We can't holler, scream, throw stuff, get obnoxious. We've got to conduct ourselves with a little bit of class.
Well, thanks, Colonel. We're coming to the end of the show. That's great. The Duchess is not competent to be governor. She is a cheerleader for Foxconn under Walker. She would jump up and down with pom-poms going, we're the girls from Foxconn High. We don't drink and we don't smoke. Okay, that's all she does. She's not competent to be governor. Bill, thanks a lot for calling in. Coming to the end of the show, great callers. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place Monday. Have a great weekend. I'm signing off for today.